Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Om Shanti. How are you all doing tonight? Did you have a wonderful weekend? Tweet me at Max Tucci. First and foremost, congratulations to my friend Eric Trump and his beautiful wife, the new Mrs. Trump. They were married over the weekend at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach. I'm wishing you a lifetime filled with happiness. And thank you, Mr. Trump, for retweeting me tonight about being honored at Mar-a-Lago from the Unicorn Children's Foundation December 11th. We have like massive amounts of retweets and favorites. So, Mr. Trump, thank you for the awareness that you're sending out there. I appreciate your support and your help. Well, there's so much going on. The Heat won over the weekend. We had a great time. And I just love being in the moment. Don't you all? Hey, y'all remember Randy Spelling? We had him on the show here. What a great life coach he is. Well, he was on Oprah, Where Are They Now? Tonight on that wonderful show that Oprah has, Where Are They Now? And Randy has been here on Max and Friends. He gave you a life class, so come to the archives, latalkradio.com/Max. Almost 7 years of archives there. Great, great guests and great, great life class. Well, tonight we have a wonderful, wonderful guest. Shakti Durga is coming in live from Australia shortly. She is a guru, and she's going to teach us the five dimensions of life, wealth, spirit, all these wonderful things. But there's five dimensions that we're going to get into tonight here on Max and Friends. But before we do that, we've got to call somebody real quick. It's my sister Nikki's birthday. So, Ronnie, give her a call, because let's talk to her and see what's going on. She doesn't know we're calling, by the way. We're just going to send her a happy birthday. Let's get her on the line. But tweet me at Max Tucci, because I want to know how your weekend was, how your week is going to be, and all these wonderful things going on in life. But first, we got to call my sister and wish her a happy birthday. All right. She better answer the phone. But so Shakti's going to be with us in just a minute. I'm excited to get my sister on the phone. She better answer the phone. I've got to like text her to say that we're calling her, I think. Oh, boy. Hey, Ronnie, can you see what's going on with our guests? We have no contact received. I'm getting this. All right. Hello, Nikki.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Do you know that you're on Max and Friends right now?
Happy birthday to you. And may all your dreams come true.
Happy, happy birthday.
Oh, oh, oh.
time. Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was Happy Birthday to my sister, Nikki. Happy birthday, Nikki. Did she already go?
I'm here. Thank you so much.
I hope you have a wonderful birthday, and I'll call you tomorrow. You're going to get a bunch of Groupon gifts from me, so check out for your phone tomorrow. Hey, tune into Max and Friends, because we've got a great, great guest tonight, Shakti Durga, Nikki, and she's going to teach us a life class here on Max and Friends. So I hope you tune in.
Okay, great. Thank you. Love you.
Happy birthday. Love you. Bye. All right. Well, I got to get my family out of the way first, because love is what brings us together, isn't it? We've got an amazing guest. Shakti Durga is coming on. She is the founder and spiritual head and inspirational leader of Shanti Mission, which is based in Australia. Yes, she's live in Australia now. And she's a living guru. Her teachers focus on the development of spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical health and well-being, with the goal of igniting the divine spark and cultivating the guru within everyone. Right now, Om Shanti, my friends, and when we're back, Shakti Durga is with us on Max and Friends. Om Shanti. Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Om Shanti, my friends. Tonight, we are blessed, we're encouraged, we're inspired to have a being and a spirit with us that I believe will change your life. You know, seldomly do I find someone that I've never met that I say we have to have them on Max and Friends with such being of knowing, of believing that tonight this life class is going to set us free in the sense of living in the moment and really understanding the five dimensions of our beautiful life. What does life mean to you? Tweet me, at Max Tucci. I always say our life is big. We have to keep reaching. So tonight here on Max and Friends, I'm encouraging you to reach for the life that you want and believe that it starts right now. You're free from the past. You're free from the future. You're right now. We're together here on Max and Friends. And my guest is live right now in Australia. We're all alive right now. But my beautiful guest, Shakti Durga, is the founder and spiritual head and inspirational leader of Shanti Mission. Its head office is based in Australia. And Shakti Durga is a living guru. She teaches focusing on the development of spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical health and well-being with the goal of igniting the divine spark and cultivating the guru within every one of us. You know, I love saying when I searched for God, I found myself. And you all know that I love to be in the moment of now, and I love to have guests that will enlighten you, and I believe tonight you will be enlightened. So join the ride here on Max and Friends, and please welcome Shakti Durga to Max and Friends. Welcome. Namaste.
Namaste. Lovely to be with you, Max.
Well, it's a blessing to have you here. You know, I always believe that when there's going to be a breakthrough in lives, sometimes confusion sets in and tries to to take over. But then we just claim the moment and we're here. So I'm so thankful that you're here tonight.
Thank you.
What a journey it's been, no? Speaking of journeys, tell us about who you are and what was your journey and what now is your journey as Shakti Durga.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shakti Durga is who I'd be now, I suppose. I realized that was who I am when I had an epiphany back in 2006, and I'd been a spiritual teacher for quite a few years. I was going into a class to teach one day, and I was saying to my colleague, wow, there's a lot of energy today. I wonder what's happening. And as I walked in the door to teach the class, the heavens opened and all the inner dimensions opened, and I was perceiving masters and angels and columns of light and extraordinary things. And in all of that light and bliss, and I was kind of gone, you know, into some other realm. But in all of that, I realized that I was Shakti Durga, and I was here to serve as a guru. So it was a bit of a shock, I got to tell you, to a white Western woman with children, you know. However, it's been the most extraordinary blessing. And the great love of my life is my disciples and the devotees who are seeking so earnestly to find the divine inside of them and to transform into the highest vibrational potential that they could in this life. And it's just such an honor to be able to give them some guidance and blessings on their journey. So who I am these days is someone who passes on the blessings of my guru to anyone who wants them, really, anyone who's got a heart that yearns for the divine. And my job is to help people recognize that they're only ever a vibration away from everything that their heart and soul yearns for.
It's a beautiful remembrance, and it's a gentle reminder that indeed the heart for the divine. Do you believe we all have a heart for the divine?
Yes, I do. I think that it's part of our humanity, and that our chakra system allows us to travel really between dimensions and to access the bliss of the divine. And it really doesn't matter what religion you are, what path you follow, that every single person is able to go into their heart and to feel the love and the bhakti, the bliss, the bhav, whatever you want to call it, that leads straight into a sort of a union with the divine. So I think that it's inherent in us, and the thing is that we often forget to do it.
We do. And tonight we're going to be reminded how to do it with this beautiful lesson that we have for our listeners tonight. If you're just tuning in, we have Shakti Durga joining us from Shanti Mission in Australia. Tonight we're going to give you five dimensions of really how to live a life, I think, of abundance and how to just be in the moment. Now tell us about the Shanti Mission, the peace mission that you've created in Australia.
Well, Shanti Mission is a school for the soul, and we're interested in helping people on the wonderful and rich and sacred journey from the head to the heart. And just, you know, back in my earlier years, I was trained as a lawyer and an economist, and I practiced law for many years. And my idea of spirituality was pretty kind of sketchy. And I really didn't have much of a clue about how to use any sort of spiritual tools when I had problems in my life. And so Shanti Mission has developed as, it's kind of like the things that I've road tested in my own life that have worked, that I've been taught from various teachers, and also things that the divine has kind of dropped into my head. These things are now set out in various seminars and courses and spiritual practices, meditations and so forth, that people are able to access and utilize these things so that when they come against the sorts of problems that I did, you know, being a stressed out professional person, going through a divorce, you know, having health challenges, that they can utilize these things and hopefully have a more ease and grace ride through it all than I did.
Yeah. Now, could you describe the divine? What does the divine mean to you?
Wow, that's just such a massive question. Well, to me, there's nothing that isn't divine. And so therefore, sometimes, depends on what lens you want to look through, I can look at people and see God. I can look at the sky and see the divine. Mm-hmm. I can see it in a murti. I can see it in a mala bead. But to me, the divine is the infinite absolute, the endless, vast cosmic intelligence that runs the cosmos we live in and is inherent, hiding inside everything and everyone. One of my favorite names of the divine is Guye, G-U-H-Y-E. And Guye is the divine mother who's hiding out in the open in everything, in every leaf of every tree, in every person, in everything. So I guess that's how I see the divine.
That's so beautiful. You know, you just reminded me of a quote from Maya Angelou, when you learn, teach, and when you get, give. Do you live by those philosophies?
Absolutely. I think it's a duty that if you realize some things that help you, and then I think you have a duty really to pass it on. And I think that really the divine only teaches us in accordance with that, which we're utilizing, realizing, and then sharing. So I just think I've got the best job in the world.
You know what? It's not. It's when it becomes a passion and then your purpose. It's not even a job. It's just your being. It's enlightened. Just to be, just to wake up and just be is beautiful. And my dream really, I think, is for everyone to be in that place, because we get so confused. I was at dinner tonight. You know, I have to share this story with you, because I was speaking to friends that you were going to be on the show tonight. And they're like, well, what's really the purpose? I said, there's always, the universe is always conspiring something bigger. You know, and I said, we just fall in this routine of, we go to this store, we buy all these products to then we put in our house and we bathe and we shower, we shave if we do. And then we have our clothes and we get them ready. We're in this routine. And half the time we're not doing what our passion is. So I love that you just have this joy for life. I have it too. And so many of you who are listening tonight, the joy will come, you know, discover really why you're here right now. And tonight we're going to teach you that with five dimensions of life, wealth, spirit, abundance. It's a great life class tonight at Max and Friends. But if you're just tuning in and you're like, how can I get to Shanti Mission? And who are these people? Go to shaktidurga.com. But before we talk about other things, I want to focus on right now, you know, there's a lot of people out in this world. And that's what I love about Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. Shakti Durga is my guest tonight, live from Australia, from the Shanti Mission. And there's people listening tonight who feel that their life really isn't what they want it to be. So what kind of people come to your centers?
That kind of people, really. and people who are searching for meaning, people who are really wanting to find their purpose in life. Some people come to Shanti Mission because they're not well. and we practice a kind of energetic healing called Ignite Your Spirit. And we go very deep with people and look in the five dimensions that we're going to be talking about tonight, and we help them to realize where it is that they might just need to turn up the volume a little bit on their practices in one or other of those dimensions. The people that come to us are often having relationship problems or, just wanting to help their kids or just seeking meaning, seeking the divine and seeking the bliss. A lot of people love the fact that we are a guru tradition, that we're a guided spiritual path, and that the protection of the guru is available for them, the blessings are available, the activation and the rapid transmission of consciousness is all available to them through these traditions. So a lot of people just really love that.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful to have a place where people can come into and just be in this beautiful environment where love really is the mission and peace is the mission.
Yeah.
Describe peace. What does peace mean to you?
Well, to me, peace is a dynamic. I think it's not static. I think peace is something that we're seeking internally. It's something that we're seeking in our relationships and something that is part of the power of our soul to be in peace. So for me, it's a vibration of energy, and it's something that we're always seeking. However, I feel that if we just sort of agree with other people to keep the peace, have it your way, and it's not what we really believe in, then I don't think that that's authentic peace. So for me, the definition of peace would have to include in it some form of authenticity and empowerment, which is why we're pretty big on helping people become empowered spiritually.
What does the word intention mean to you?
Well, I think that the world is full of good intentions, and that it's very important for us to have an intention as to what it is. Where do we want to be in our life? What do we want to achieve? Because our intention sets in train a whole lot of inner plane wheels that start to turn to help us get to our intention. However, I also feel that along the way towards our intention, be it good health or wealth or spiritual grace, whatever, that there's always going to be some tests. And understanding how to meet those tests without giving in, falling back, losing your intention, losing your focus is part of the work of Shanti Mission and the way that we teach about spirituality. It's very practical.
How beautiful. How beautiful. Now, with all these emotions that are happening now in the world, I mean, there's so many different vibrations of emotions. What is your view, actually, of emotion?
Well, actually, I think emotion is a really powerful kind of energy, and I think all emotions arise out of the divine as Adi Shakti, or the primal mother, and I think that we're learning how to handle them. And sometimes, some emotions are easier to handle than others. So happiness is quite an easy vibration to handle, but sadness, anger, rage, these aren't so easy to handle. I think it takes a lot of spiritual strength to be able to handle those things and to do it authentically so that we get real peace as the outcome when situations like that come up for us.
Now, speaking of rage and anger, happiness and peace and love, when we're in that vibration, I think everyone thinks life is just so perfect. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes this rage or this anger. I shouldn't say out of nowhere, because it's somewhere that, we have to purge ourselves from, I believe. But do we have the inner strength to really conquer anger? For those who are listening tonight, I ask that question on behalf of them.
Yeah. Well, because anger is just an emotion, I believe that we do. I think that anger is very often demonized, and I agree that a lot of terrible things happen because the people are angry and they can't stop themselves acting out that anger. But if you just analyze anger itself as an emotion, sometimes, it's telling you, look, you got to stand up for yourself. You've got to change something here. It's like the fire in the belly of the goddess saying, come on, your boundaries have been usurped. You need to do something. So then I feel that there's a choice point then. I think having felt the anger, then what we need to do is analyze, okay, what exactly is it that I'm angry about? We need to get the charge of anger out of our body, and the best way I've ever found to do that is utilize the physical dimension. Go and kick a ball or clean out cupboards. You'll be amazed what sort of clutter you'll throw out if you're angry when you do it. You know, you'll clean your house out or
absolutely.
Or go for something physical.
Something physical, but obviously, no, not causing harm, listeners.
Absolutely.
But you know, we got to put that out there because then I'm going to get tweets and emails. You told me to get physical. Dance is what I mean. Dance. Yeah. But I think also sometimes the best form to release anger is to just stop, be in the moment, and breathe and exhale. You know, we breathe and breathe and breathe and we forget to exhale.
Yeah, yogic breathing is one of our favorite things. So in terms of handling emotions, yoga breathing, pranayama, fabulous tools. I also feel that the exercise, the movement is important to get the charge out of our bodies. And then what we've got to do is think, okay, well, what would love do now? Given that the anger has delivered the message, there's something not right, how am I going to respect myself and act upon this charge instead of just rolling over and pretending nothing's wrong? So we need to learn, I think, to be assertive. And there's a difference between assertiveness and aggression. But we have a lot of people who probably don't want to offend anyone, and so they stay quite passive. And they don't say what they want to because they're afraid they might hurt someone. But then what happens is that it boils away inside them. Maybe the other person doesn't even know that they're upset with what's going on. It becomes very volcanic over a period of time. And then when the explosion comes, it's massive and very hard to contain in a skillful way. So we're for early intervention in these things, you know. You feel the charge. You know the anger's there. Let's learn some tools, which we teach in the Path of Ease and Grace, which is a seminar series. How do you now take that and utilize it in a way that the outcome's going to be peace? The outcome might not be exactly what you want, but at least you will have said what you needed to say, and there's a certain amount of peace comes from that, that you've been assertive, you've communicated. And then we work with the spiritual laws, and one of the laws we'd work with is non-attachment. So, you know, if we're attached to the outcome, you know, I feel angry, therefore you have to change, would not be the optimal path from my point of view. And it doesn't work. I mean, how often have you tried to change people you know and it just doesn't work? It's a frustrating exercise.
It is. You know, and I love there's a saying that I use always, change doesn't change until you change. So we are not here to change anybody. That's something that they have to go through. But what I love that you said, and I wrote it down because it's a tweet for the week, everybody, on Max and Friends. If you're tuning in, the divine Shakti Durga is live with us from Shanti Mission in Australia. What would love do now? Tweet me at Max Tucci and let me know what would love do now in your life. That's just a beautiful message. So, what is it like being a guru? I mean, people are tuning in, they're like, guru, shmuru, they've heard it all these new movies, all these new people. Yeah. I always say we are our own guru, but what does it mean to be a guru?
Well, when I'm in the mode of being a guru, it's as though the divine, usually in the flavor of Durga, who's divine mother, who's very protective and expansive, it descends and there's this vast bliss. And I know my energy field is very expanded at that time, and discourses come through my mouth, sometimes on subjects that I'm not all that familiar with, but the divine is, and it seems to help people who are in front of me at the time. The guru is really the God within being realized in that moment and offered to someone else to help them. So if one is a guru, one spends a lot of time working with the soul of the divine, of the disciple or whoever wants the help, rather than the mind just by itself. So the mind is indispensable, we all know that, and there's a lot of excellent work in the world around how we need to master our minds, and that's crucial to our work as well. We go a step further, though, because the guru deals directly with our souls. And as I said before, the transmission of energy is very profound. If you've ever had a blessing from a genuine guru, you'll know that your kundalini shakti is likely to immediately fly up to samastra, to crown chakra, and there's a lot of bliss. And suddenly, you can often see things in a way that you haven't seen them before. It's as though the guru lends you strength through which you can face your challenges the way the guru would face them, you know, in the sense of with that strength. It's still in your flavor. It's still with your personality, but there's just some of the strength of the soul. And so when we merge like that, the gifts can be lent and given to people. So that's how I work with my own guru, because any guru really has to be a disciple before they're a guru, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. So with my guru, I just merge as much as I can. And when I do, I can feel my own energy field expanding, and I can feel a wisdom coming into me that I just let it come through. And so whether people are calling me guru or not, my main thing for myself is that I know I'm a disciple. And the thing is, when we merge with our guru, there's only one, and that's the whole point of the guru tradition, is unity. So unity means the two of us are going to merge together, and the finest, most brilliant, gorgeous qualities of that is what we're both going to share in. So to me, it's just been so empowering for me as a human being to have a guru, and I've had several on the way to finding Sri Shakti Amma, who is my guru, who's in India. And so I just now have been asked by her to take her blessings to the world, and I'm really aware when I'm blessing people that I'm not blessing people. Amma is blessing people, and I'm a pipe. And in Australia, in the Aboriginal tradition, there's a saying called be a hollow bone. And when you're a hollow bone, you just let the divine grace pour through you and you give it to someone else like a hollow bone. So that's
beautiful.
That's what I have in my consciousness as I'm blessing. And then we tend to all just go into bliss together.
Yes, the vibration of bliss. Speaking of vibrations, what is everybody listening to right now?
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. You're joining us right now. Shakti Durga is here, and we're going to give you a life class that is really going to inspire, encourage you, and also just resonate. I believe this so much. I just believe that these words that are spoken tonight, you know, if you miss any portion of them, that tomorrow there's going to be a replay here on LA Talk Radio, but then they go into the archives, latalkradio.com/max, and there you can be reminded how to cultivate your inner strength and to understand these next five dimensions of the life class with my guest, Shakti Durga Guru. I feel like calling you Guru to the stars. I don't know why, but it just came to me. I guess it's the LA vibe. But nonetheless,
all
let's break down.
All of my disciples are stars in my eyes.
Yes. You know what? I feel that. It's just like we all are. We're all made of star stuff anyway. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, with that said, Guru, let's talk about these five dimensions, because it's really going to be, I think, let's talk about what is your view of abundance first.
Well, I think abundance is knowing who you are, having a good sense of values, having friends and health, having a beloved who you can share your life with, having enough of what you need so that you can lead a purposeful and fulfilling life. So
now,
they would
quick question.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, because I feel it in my heart right now. What if there's people that are listening right now and they say, I don't have a beloved, I don't have great health, I don't have friends, I don't have a family base, I don't have strength, I don't have love, I don't have happiness.
Okay.
How can they then use that word abundant in their life?
Well, they can start by having gratitude for whatever they do have. I think sometimes when we have a problem in our life, be it relationship or health or money, we get so focused on what we don't have that we allow ourselves to be almost tricked into an ever diminishing spiral of abundance, because that's what we're focusing on. You said before, Max, about the importance of intention. And I think here it's very important that if we desire more abundance, that we have an intention that that be so. Also to understand that I believe that inside every single person is the potential for a great deal of abundance. And that this is limited in part by our karma, which is something I'm happy to talk about, by the way we think, which is a whole other kettle of fish, and by the lifestyle that we've chosen so far in our life. But my feeling is that when we don't have the abundance that we would like to have, we can go back through the five dimensions of our being and find out what's wrong, what went wrong, as long as we don't do it in a way where we're trying to attribute blame to ourselves or others, because that's very destructive. So with the five dimensions, what we're actually looking for is an expanded list of places where we can look to say, well, what am I going to do now? You know, what's the next step? How can I make the most of whatever situation I'm in? And an example comes to mind of a devotee in Shanti Mission who had a terminal illness, you know, diagnosed a few years ago, and it couldn't really be treated, but she got right into her devotion, you know, and she experienced a lot of bliss and a lot of help from a lot of people, a lot of support in a way that she never had in her life up to that time. And a whole heap of healing happened inside her, in her mind, in her emotions, in her soul, such that the last couple of years of her life were probably the happiest times and the most abundant times of her life, even though, you know, someone would say, well, but she's got a terminal illness. You say, well, yes, she has, but she's really one with her divinity right now, and she doesn't really feel the lack, you know. She's fulfilled. And I think that's the thing. We can find fulfillment in the most extraordinary array of circumstances if we have the training, if we have the discipline and the will to do it and the intention, you know. So it's a whole range of things. But I feel that there's very practical ways that we can go about building ourselves a life that's more abundant than we've ever known, more filled with love than we've ever known. But I will say to your listeners that my perception is, and my experience is, that the you that finds the abundance isn't the exact same version of the you that was lacking it. So for me, what happens is that the individual themselves transforms, and that's a sacred spiritual process, however they do it, you know, whatever tradition they use and so on. But it's still the sacredness of the journey of transformation, whereby we come into a realization of the vastness of who we are. And I loved what you said before, Max, about that people get so into the detail of, you know, what tube of toothpaste should I be using, and you know, what breakfast cereal, and which diet should I be on, and what color shirt and tie should I wear today, which are all valid, fun things, and I've got nothing against any of that. But there has to be room in our life, I think, for a deeper exploration of self and to ask the big questions and sometimes the difficult questions about how am I myself, sometimes my own worst enemy, when it comes to my quest to have a more abundant, love-filled, inspiring life. And absolutely. Yeah. And so that's,
you know what's beautiful? I think we all need to, this week, because we're going to talk about the five dimensions, but this week I think a great life lesson is to dream about the biggest quest of your life, people. Dream about that quest. And tomorrow morning when you wake up, make your first step to your quest. I love, you know, this reminds me of Alan Watts when he says, we dream about the future, and then when we get to the future, we don't realize we're in it because we're already dreaming about the future again.
I love it.
So yes, just be in the moment. So be in the now, because the now is what we're going to talk about. We're talking about these five dimensions. This is the life class. I know that you're all going to want more. I could already feel that vibration, but time only permits us 10 more minutes. So we're going to try to cover these five dimensions. Yes, in fact, the guru, Shakti Durga, will join us again January 18th. So before we go to all of that, just know that on January 18th, we're going to talk about Shakti Durga's new book, which is Empowering Relationships. What do you teach in your relationship courses? We're going to talk about here on Max and Friends, January 18th. So mark your calendars. I want you to go on Twitter and follow the Shakti Durga on Twitter, on Instagram, Shanti Missions Adobe of Peace, and on Facebook, Shakti Durga. If you want to know how to spell it, S-H-A-K-T-I-D-U-R-G-A, Shakti Durga. Follow her there. Join us back January 18th. We're going to be talking about empowering relationships, and that's also her new book, so definitely visit ShaktiDurga.com for more information. Okay, now with all of the show aspect out of the way, let's get into these five dimensions. So the homework that we're going to give you this week, everyone, is in every moment there is a choice. There is a choice point. So before we get to that, explain the five dimensions, and then we'll get right into the homework portion of tonight's Max and Friends Life class with my guest, Shakti Durga. So five dimensions. Let's break them down.
Let's do that. So the first dimension we work with in Shanti Mission is the physical dimension that everyone's familiar with. It's our physical bodies, it's nature, it's anything that you can see, feel, hear, or use your senses for. So many of us get very caught up in that world. It's often esoterically called the world of, it's the result of what's going on in the inner worlds. So what are the inner worlds? Sometimes when people talk about the non-physical or the spiritual or the world of spirit, to me they're merging four different dimensions together, and I'd just like to separate them out so that we can learn about them in a deeper way. So the next dimension next to the physical, kind of interpenetrating it, is the etheric dimension. The etheric dimension takes into account our chakra system, our aura, and all of the meridians and lines of light that join us to other people, to ideas, to the future, to the past. And sometimes when I look clairvoyantly at people, I'm able to discern that their energy fields are actually not in the present moment. And as you say, Max, it's really important that we try and be in the present moment. Very often they're way in the future or they're way in the past, and we can treat that, and we can show people how to treat that really easily. They can learn that in half a day. So when we look at the chakra system, also we're looking for how developed is each of those chakras, because each chakra is a portal to higher consciousness and a portal that will connect you with part of the power of your own soul. So it's very important that we don't ignore them. So back in my days of being a trial attorney, when I was just sort of getting into my spirituality, and my clairvoyance kicked in unexpectedly after a blessing from a guru, and I was in court and I was looking at my colleagues, and they all had these massive base chakras and sex chakras, and, you know, their connection to the physical world was so vast. But if I looked at their crown chakra or their ajna chakra or even their heart chakras, there's hardly anything there. And so to people like that, it's like the inner world doesn't really exist, and so they're happy being atheists because there's nothing but the physical, if you see what I mean. In their consciousness, that's how it is. And you can still be a very good person and be an atheist, in my view. But to someone
who's... even atheists believe in nothing.
Exactly. It's still a belief system, but that's a different dimension.
That's another show.
Yeah, that's another... Give me a minute. So the other side of the coin is that I now hang out with a lot of spiritual people, and I notice that they have very large upper chakras. So the crown chakra, the heart, the ajna, these are massive in these people. The inner world is their reality. They know it. They understand it. They can work with it. But very often those people are lacking the development in the lower chakras that my former wealthy lawyer colleagues had, if you see what I mean. So if we're looking to develop wealth, then one of the places that we need to look is in our etheric body, because if you have a chakral imbalance, as I'm speaking about, then with all the intention in the world, with all the prayer in the world, with everything else, it's going to be very difficult for you to actually ground the abundance in your life unless your lower chakras as well as your upper chakras are developed.
So we get right. They have to be in line.
That's right. They have to be in alignment. They have to be in harmony. And there's a whole stack of exercises for each individual chakra that you can learn to strengthen it, so that you are not missing a vital piece of the puzzle, if you like, in terms of how to fairly rapidly and easily transform things in your life. So they're the first two dimensions, the physical and the etheric. The third dimension that we teach about is the one you just referred to, the one where all our beliefs are. And that is the astral dimension, at least that's what we call it. I'm sure it's got lots of names. But the astral dimension is where we do all of our mind work. So all of our thoughts, our thinking power, our beliefs, our memories, our expectations about the future, a lot of our dreams are all in this astral landscape. And in here is everything. The astral landscape is massive because in the astral field, we kind of blob into everyone else's astral field as well, which is why if you're around someone who's depressed, very often you start to feel depressed. If you're around someone who's angry, very often you start to feel angry because the emotion in their astral field is sort of infecting you in a way, just as you may infect others. You know, it's a two-way street. Anyway, so there's many, many things we can do to strengthen our astral part of ourselves, the astral dimension. And a lot of the work on mind power, which I so admire, works on this level. All of the thought form work, all of the using affirmations, visualizing, all of those are astral tools and they're brilliant. But they won't get you what you need if your etheric body's out of whack, if you don't have any channels into the physical world, and if the next dimension, the dimension of the soul, is still a little bit dodgy. So each of these dimensions I'm talking about is more potent than the last one. So by the time we get to the soul dimension, we're talking about a really intensely potent series of realities. And in the soul dimension, this is where we go between lives, I believe, and where we decide where we're going to go next. This is the vibration, the place where the spiritual laws are the essence of reality. So, for instance, the law of vibration, the law of polarity, you know, that there's always got to be light and dark, up and down, the law of flow, the law of faith, the law of attraction, which was so popular with that film, The Secret. There's 12 laws there, which we probably don't have time to talk about, but they're in the book Dimensions of Wealth that's available on my website. So if we're, just say the law of karma, imagine that we're a person who doesn't believe in karma. Well, that's going to have absolutely no effect, that belief, because karma doesn't exist in the astral dimension. It exists in the soul dimension, and it doesn't matter if you believe in it or not because it's a reality that believes in you. You see, you can't really escape it because it's of a different dimension. So you can not believe in the law of attraction, but it's still going to work, if you see what I mean. Whereas in the astral field, you know, whether you believe all people are good or you believe all people are terrible or you believe women are stupid or you believe, you know, all the crazy things that people believe sometimes.
The judgment.
All those things, yeah. Or you believe that life is beautiful and that can be your astral reality. Life is beautiful. Everyone's beautiful. People are lovely. That could be your astral reality. And the law of attraction would say that whatever you believe in will come to you. Do you see? So these different dimensions work together. So through the law of attraction, what you believe in the astral field will come to you, provided that in the etheric dimension you're sufficiently developed to receive it and that you act in the physical dimension in a way that's congruent with the reality that you're trying to create. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. Yeah. It's only because time is of the essence. The fifth dimension is a divine.
Yeah, so. And, yeah, that's it. Sorry, too many words.
It's okay.
The divine dimension is, of course, the essence of every person. It's the Brahma. It's the Ain. So many words for it, you know. It's the ultimate. I call it sometimes a void because I feel that when we're in the divine dimension itself, nothing else except the bliss of the divine exists. So there's no color, there's no, you can't see other souls, you can't see lines of light, you don't see the ascended masters, you don't see anything. You're just in this place of isness. It's just complete.
It just is.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. So it's an amazing experience to have that. When the Kundalini fully activates, we sometimes get those experiences of just extraordinary ecstasy, I suppose.
It sure is. You know what? I'm only rushing because, you know, it's like the illusion of time is in essence. But what I love is that we've left people hungering to know more. So visit, please visit ShaktiDurga.com. And remember, January 18th, Shakti Durga will be back. And right now we have on the calendar that empowering relationships is the lesson. But as life, as we plan, God laughs. So in every moment, there is a choice. Take that into this week, my dear friends. I love you all for listening tonight to Max and Friends. May we have a quick blessing blessing from the guru for our listeners tonight?
Yeah, just ask your listeners if they wouldn't mind closing their eyes and thinking thank you and breathing in. And I ask for Amma's blessing upon each of you. May my guru's blessings shine in your crown chakra, in your heart, and bring delight to your life. I ask this in full faith. So be it.
Ashe and amen, and I receive it, and I believe that all my listeners are receiving it. Thank you so much, Shakta Durgi. Namaste for being here. I'm going to call you after the show because we've got so much to talk about.
Namaste.
Namaste. Everyone, I love you. Take life to the max. Good night and good karma. And here's a poem from my beloved Majaya River. Have a wonderful week and take life to the max.
Children play in my river. Sadhu stay by my river. Cities old by my river, temples made of gold by my river. Cows stray all the day by my river. River, river, I am thirsty. River, river, I am yearning. I laugh with the children that swim in my river. And someday I will go back. Oh, my river, my mother, I must never forget you wherever I go. Oh, my mother, my gentle Gange, I yearn to play with the children in my river. Children, children everywhere, come play in my river. Children, children everywhere, watch the ash fall from my hair. This river shall never disappear. This river shall always be here. This river shall always be near. Ashes, ashes everywhere. This is a river of life and death. Who comes to her waters do not despair. River, river, I am yearning. River, river, I am burning. And now, my river, it is your story being told. For I am the poet of the river. And no matter how old I become, I will always be wild by my river. Children play, sadhu stay. Cities old, temples gold, cows stray. Men die, widows cry all the while. One with the giver, my mother, the river. And let all the pain go, all the confusion go. Let it slip out of your hearts. And let the silence become the river. And let the silence become the river. And let the silence become the river.